Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan alongside Tasha Fusil, who's joining me today to review the brand new DreamWorks animation. It's called The Boss Baby, and it features the voice talents of Alec Baldwin, Steve Buscemi, Jimmy Kimmel, and Lisa Kudrow. It's directed by Tom McGrath. He's the guy who did the Madagascar film. And this is a story about a baby that gets delivered to a home and how it upsets the dynamics of this trifecta family, right? Father, mother, and son. And we don't know what's actually going on in this film because we don't know if these events actually happened or it's just part of the young boy's vivid imagination in his retelling of the story, because it's narrated by the future version of this kid voiced by Tobey Maguire.
Well, I mean, a baby never gets delivered in a suit and a briefcase. I'm pretty sure it's all in his mind.
You don't know that, Tash. You don't know that. It's a very interesting take on this movie, and I didn't know what to expect. I mean, you went in blind. You hadn't seen any trailers.
No.
You knew nothing about
really
the film.
Big posters on the highway, yeah.
And you loved it.
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, don't go in expecting it to win any awards. Just go in expecting to, if you love babies, if you love a bit of comedy, if you love Alec Baldwin, definitely I would give this a go.
Okay, yeah, he's the MVP in this, right? His voice just is pitch perfect.
I mean, if you watch him in 30 Rock, it's Alec Baldwin walking around in a suit, being a boss and like saying mean things to people. This is what he will do in this movie.
Only he's in diapers.
Diapers and a Rolex.
Right. Yeah. And that's the conceit of this film, right? The baby that gets delivered is wearing a suit. He's in a briefcase because he's part of Baby Corp.
Yep.
And the babies who don't get tickled or laugh when they get tickled get sent to management.
It's really...
I know. It's really kind of dark at some bits, this film.
I think when you introduce the whole premise of an office of management, that's depressing in itself. Like, who wants to be born straight into an office? Like, and yet this is his goal. So that there's a dark, like, depressing factor to it.
You know, he says in the film, I wasn't born to a family. I was born into management, right? And I think that's probably the darkest, most depressing part of the movie, that tone that it takes. But I wasn't sure, watching this film, I wasn't sure what kind of tone it was trying to strike, in that it starts off and it feels like it's going down that family comedy route. But yet there are some moments that are seriously quite depressing.
I didn't pick up on the major depressing tone that you're talking about. So you're looking at it from the point of view of Tim, who is Boss Baby's older brother, and he's super imaginative. So he's like just hopping in and out of these really fantastical worlds, and I thought that was a lot of fun to watch. Like, okay, tell me more about this darkness that you speak of.
So, funny you say imaginative and super imaginative and jumping in and out of adventures, because for me that was the kind of dark and depressing undertone, because the highlight of this film is about using your imagination to escape your everyday.
Oh, he's escaping reality.
I was just
more like, oh, look at this kid just using his brain to its fullest. Like,
no, and that's how it starts off, because, you know, you see him playing with dinosaurs and spaceships, and we all did that, right? But as the movie progresses and as you get to this part where he meets his new baby brother, the boss baby, if you will, and he's trying to convince him that, you know, he needs to live a child's life. And But he's also trying to tell him that you need to escape the harsh reality of your existence. And you do that by imagining you're a pirate. And that's why I find it was... See, that's why I found it was kind of tonally awkward. Because on the one hand, it was trying to tell, hey, look, here's a fart joke. And then on the other hand, I was like, oof, this is rough.
Okay. I don't think I really saw it that way. I think I saw it more as, if anything, if you're a kid watching this, it's more like, kids, it's okay to go crazy with your imagination.
I think that's definitely one of the strongest elements in the film. The other reason why it does that really well is because, if you've noticed, Tash, in the movie, there are no cell phones.
Yes.
There are no computers.
There is some sort of like an old school quality to it. I wasn't sure what year it was set in. Yeah.
I think the setting, given how the cars look and the fact...
And the toys that they play. And the TV. They played some pretty... Like, they played the kind of toys that we used to play with growing up, and we're not...
Correct. So I think it might be set in the 70s or 80s. I think that was the time 80s? Period.
I'd be comfy saying 80s.
I think that's a conscious decision to get away from the tablets and the screens and say, you know, use your imagination. That pencil you're holding is a sword.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how effective it's going to be. I mean, like, the kids are probably just... Like,
watching this movie on their iPads. There are a lot of comparisons. I guess there are a lot of easy comparisons to make between this movie and Inside Out. And if you do it, this movie will fall horribly short. But I think that's a bit of a false comparison. I think they're setting out to do very different things.
It feels like with this movie, there's no really strong message or moral story that they're trying to teach you, apart from try to get along with your sibling. Like, that's probably like the one message they're trying to get across. The rest of the time, they're just having fun doing really, really ridiculous and stupid things. And I don't know whether I'm biased because we work at, you know, a business station, but I actually really enjoyed the business element to the storyline.
Oh, for sure. I mean... Yeah. And also the reference points to the business elements of the storyline. There is one huge reference which you see in the trailer, which is a Glengarry Glen Ross reference. It's an old movie starring Alec Baldwin.
I'm like,
Yeah, well, starring Alec Baldwin, right? And it's one of his breakout roles. And I'm amazed they would... I don't know who else would get... Like, no kid will get that reference.
Right.
But essentially, in the movie, Alec Baldwin, there's a great scene where he walks into this office and people aren't sure who he is, and he's giving a speech, and he goes, "Put the coffee down."
Right.
Coffee is for closers. Let's talk about something important.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Cookies are for closers.
In this movie, he says cookies.
Oh my God, I get it.
That's right. And it's a great moment. I remember watching that in the trailer, and I kind of freaked out on the inside a little bit because I love Glengarry Glen Ross. And that was the other thing that took me aback slightly, because some of the jokes in the film, I was like, oh, no, these are clearly for the parents, and these are clearly for the parents of a certain generation, because you know the director and his points of inspiration, and he's just thrown this stuff in there. But that's for us. That's not for the kids.
Actually, there were points where I was wondering whether there was going to be enough in the film for kids to enjoy.
But when we were watching the film, there were bits where we just heard the kids behind us just lose it.
Yeah, at any scene where there was blatant, like, violence, really. Which is concerning, I think.
But with that in mind, I couldn't necessarily tell. I mean, I left the cinema and I had a good time. I found this movie very, very entertaining. But I don't think I knew who it was for. Sometimes I can pinpoint exactly who a Pixar movie is for. I know who Inside Out is targeted towards, or at least I know the message they're trying to put across. And I think because the message of this movie is so muddled, sometimes I think it just might be another one of those things relegated to a Saturday matinee. You know,
harsh.
I think it's
way harsh, Ty.
No, but don't you think so, Tash? I mean, it's funny, it's entertaining when I'm in that room and watching this film.
Yeah.
But I think it's also immediately forgettable.
Not as forgettable as some of the animated films I think that I've seen that have really struggled to hold my interest. I think with this one, the pace was fast enough that I was entertained while I was in there. But I get what you mean about it being forgettable in the sense that you're not moved by it, right? Like, but that's not fair, I think, of an expectation to place on a movie like Boss Baby.
I know, you're right. I think we hold Pixar up to such a high standard that they are the bar to beat, right? Don't get us wrong, this is a perfectly competent film, and you're absolutely right about the pace. Everything moves so quickly along that you're not bored for a second.
Yeah, and the premise of the story is so cute and ridiculous that if you just hop onto that, it's entertaining enough, I think.
You said entertaining enough. Speaking of entertaining enough, there was this other movie that came out last year about storks delivering babies.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be in the same vein, right? You got babies, you got cartoons, so you can put
Where
that in the same pool.
Where do babies come from?
Yeah, very... I don't know, but yeah, I didn't enjoy. I thought the premise was cool, like the storyline was cool, but like jokes wise, visually, I wasn't like drawn in.
That was immediately forgettable because I can't even remember the name of that film.
Storks.
Storks.
Don't watch it.
The Boss Baby, however, as Tasha just said, is entertaining enough. So go check it out. I mean, it's completely fun for your kids. So take your kids, and there's enough in it for you as a grown-up that you'll enjoy the ride as well. If you do catch it, tweet me. I'm on @UmaPagan. Tasha is not on Twitter.
Nope.
But if you tweet @BFMRadio, I'm sure she'll get your message and respond. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.